From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the study of Acts as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled John Mark. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. God's people have their trials. It was never designed by God when he chose his people that they should be an untried people. They were chosen in the furnace of affliction. They were never chosen to worldly peace and earthly joy. Freedom from sickness and the pains of mortality was never promised them. But when their Lord drew up the charter of privileges, he included chastisements among the things to which they should inevitably be heirs. Trials are a part of our lot. They were predestinated for us in God's solemn decrees and bequeathed us in Christ's last legacy. So surely as the stars are fashioned by his hands and their orbits fixed by him, so surely are our trials allotted to us. He has ordained their season and their place, their intensity, and the effect they shall have upon us. Good men must never expect to escape troubles. If they do, they will be disappointed, for none of their predecessors have been without them. Mark the patience of Job. Remember Abraham, for he had his trials, and by his faith under them he became the father of the faithful. Note well the biographies of all the patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and you shall discover none of those whom God made vessels of mercy, who were not made to pass through the fire of affliction. It is ordained of old that the cross of trouble should be engraven on every vessel of mercy, as the royal mark whereby the king's vessels of honor are distinguished. But although tribulation is thus the path of God's children, they have the comfort of knowing that their Master has traversed it before them. They have his presence and sympathy to cheer them, his grace to support them, and his example to teach them how to endure. And when they reach the kingdom, it will more than make amends for the much tribulation through which they passed to enter it.
Once for all the Savior paid redemption's price. When upon the cross he made the sacrifice, hear his words of triumph sounding from the tree.
Shout resounding far and near, still it's heard.
secure, with the King of Heaven victory is sure. Down the halls of time His words forever ring. Hear His voice, make your choice, crown Him King. It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, through God's own Son. It is finished, glory, hallelujah. It is finished, glory, hallelujah. It is finished, the victory is won.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Continuing this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is focusing on verse 13 of chapter 13. As Paul and Barnabas departed on their first missionary journey, they took with them a young man named John Mark. It was this same Mark who would later write the gospel which bears his name. He came from a godly home and had much to recommend him in the work of God. Yet verse 13 records his abandonment of the mission before its conclusion. Although John Mark was given a great opportunity to serve alongside two of the greatest preachers in the world, he departed from them for reasons that remain unclear. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, it's not how one begins, but how one finishes that is important, especially in God's work. Now to introduce a message called simply, John Mark, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're going to be reading this morning in Acts chapter 13. We'll be continuing our studies in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, we're going just to read one verse this morning, verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. In our studies, we have obviously reached this far, and I think this is the time for us to take, as it were, a little time out and go not only into the book of Acts but beyond it to consider the character of John Mark. Someone has written a spy thriller by the name The Spy Who Came In From the Cold. Now, I say someone because I don't read that literature. I've heard somebody talk about the title, and that is as much as I know about the whole subject. And I think him as well in that sort of ignorance. But when I read of John Mark, I always think of the saint who came in from the cold. Because, you see, John Mark represents a very unusual type of Christian. He represents the believer who, after a very grievous fall, is restored by the grace of God and climbs to a position of great eminence and great usefulness in the work of God. And I want us to think upon that this morning, because the devil's a great liar. And so subtly he would come in among the people of God, and when he finds a Christian who has failed, when he finds a Christian whose heart has grown cold and whose sin has even caused great hurt to the cause of Christ, the devil will say, "Now you're finished and there's no way forward." Thank God, there is cleansing and there is restoration and there is usefulness in the work of God for any child of God, and even one who has miserably thus far failed the Lord. Now, the first and the last references to John Mark in the New Testament portray him as an honored companion of great apostles. Let's look at Acts chapter 12 and look at a couple of verses there. First of all, in verse 12, the first mention of John Mark is in connection with the house of prayer. When he had considered the thing, that is when Peter, just released from prison, had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now, the very first reference shows John as the son of a godly woman, raised in a house that had such a testimony that Peter, as soon as he was released by the angel from prison, would go to that house knowing that it was a place of prayer. Just let me stop off for a minute. That's the kind of testimony your home ought to have. That's the kind of testimony my home ought to have. That a child of God in great extremity will know that is a place where I can be sure prayer is wont to be made. That is a place where God's people really lay hold on the horns of the altar. They are a praying people. Not many homes left like that today. Our brother was talking about Scotland. Let me tell you, that more than anything else is the reason why Scotland and England and Northern Ireland are getting into the position they're in today. And that's the reason why America's in the position it is today. Until the last generation or so, even in the ungodly homes in Northern Ireland and Scotland, there was family praying and there was family study of the Scripture. Now, you may say it's dead religion, but I want to tell you why that was maintained. It stopped popery in its tracks. It stopped modernism in its tracks, because a people who cherish the Word of God, even in their unsaved days, will not be so easily waylaid by the apostates. Now, what's happening today is even that among God's people, family religion is set aside. And if this Bible teaches anything, it teaches that the religion of God, Jehovah, is family religion. Never let us forget that. Now, salvation doesn't run in the blood, and you're not saved because your mother and your father are saved. Although, let me tell you, if you're a saved parent, I believe that you can enter into covenant engagements with God, and you can see your children saved. You can see them saved. But while salvation doesn't run in the blood, God's religion is a family religion. My, we ought to have the testimony that this house of John Mark had, that even a great apostle would be glad to go there for the fellowship he find in prayer. Come down the 12th chapter of Acts, and you will notice that in verse 25, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So they take him back to Antioch in companionship with these two mighty men of God. Now, what do they do with him? We find in chapter 13 and verse 5 that they set out on their first missionary journey. And at the end of verse 5, they had also John too, or as their minister. Now, that's the very first references to John Mark in the New Testament. Turn to the last reference to John Mark in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 13. And there you will find that Peter says, "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus." It's the same John Mark, my son. So he starts and he finishes as a companion of great apostles. But you know, between those references in Acts 12 and 13 and 1 Peter chapter 5, there lies the story of a young man's life, the story of a brilliant beginning, story of a foolish failure, and then, as God in grace restored him, the story of a tremendous triumph in the work of God. I want us to look at John Mark this morning and see what the Lord would say to our hearts from him. I want us to think, first of all, of his initial involvement in God's work. We have read chapter 12, 25 and chapter 13, verse 5, which tell us that John Mark was the companion and the minister of Paul and Barnabas. Now, that's a very humble beginning in God's work. He was their servant, if you want it. He was their subordinate. A very humble beginning. And yet, you know, it was a very honorable beginning. Indeed, as I have said, it's a brilliant beginning for a young man setting out in God's work. You just stop and think of it. He was in the closest possible connection with two of the mightiest men of God the world has ever seen. As I sat and pondered this, I thought, what an opportunity he had. An opportunity to benefit from an unsurpassed education. I think this is one of the greatest theological and seminary educations a young man could have had. Here he was, and he was listening to the greatest preachers alive. You remember Barnabas was called the son of consolation, or literally the son of prophecy, the son of exhortation. Barnabas was a man who could preach as few men in the history of the world have ever been able to preach. And of course, Paul. What can one say about Paul? Paul, I believe the greatest man of God since the days of Jesus Christ. Paul, the greatest theologian in the church. Paul, the greatest teacher in the church. Paul, the greatest evangelistic, soul-winning preacher in the church. Paul, the greatest missionary in the church. And to add to all that, in his ministry, inspired of God to preach nothing but the truth with God's authority stamped upon it. And John Mark, as a young man, was able to sit at the feet of Paul and the feet of Barnabas. What an education. What a beginning for a young fellow in the work of God. What an opportunity for edification. Can you imagine being in prayer with Paul and Barnabas? What an example he would have. Learning not merely from words, but from the acts of these men of God. Having the example of a passion for souls. Having the example of a purity of life. Having the example of power in preaching. My, this young fellow had an unsurpassed opportunity indeed. I don't think that any man ever had a better beginning in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think of it, what Joshua was to Moses, John Mark was to Paul and Barnabas, for Joshua was Moses' minister. What Elisha was to Elijah, John Mark was to Paul and Barnabas. Now we know where Joshua went in God's work. We know where Elisha went in God's work, and I don't think it's pressing things too far to say that we know where John Mark was going in God's work as the minister of these mighty men of God. How many great men have started in a very, very humble way? D.L. Moody, man who moved America and much of the rest of the world for God. D.L. Moody had to start in the humblest way, running around the back streets to pick up urchin children, bring them into a Sunday school class, and seek to win them for Christ. Not much of a start in God's work, you would say, but it was a good start. Think of William Carey, before he became the father of the modern missionary movement. He had to, although he was a man of great skill and great learning, he had to support himself by being a cobbler, while at the same time preaching the gospel to a handful of men and women in the little independent church. What a very humble beginning. But from that beginning, in the sovereign providence of God, there branched out the entire missionary movement of the modern church. I think of our own church. You Americans see Dr. Paisley when he comes over here today. He's known all over the world. I think the best preacher alive today. Don't think any man can preach better. Few people ever have been able to preach better. But you know how it started? When God saved him as a 6-year-old boy, gave him a desire to read. When other wee boys were reading comics, he was reading Puritan divines. You can see why he preaches so well. Do you know how it started? Publicly. Before he ever preached, before he ever stood before a company. When W.P. Nicholson was preaching his revival services round Ulster, there was a young teenage boy, and he would go round the unsaved, and with tears he would plead with them to come to Jesus. He was just an exhorter in the great revival movement of Nicholson. You know, Nicholson, at least in one occasion, had the gift of prophecy. Nicholson said, and he was referring to a young fellow called Paisley, he said, that young fellow will yet shake this country and shake the world for God. A very humble beginning. But my friend, a very brilliant beginning. John Mark, if he only had known it, was on the verge of great things. Some of you young people, if only you will realize it, that when God puts you under the preaching of the gospel, when he gives into your hand, when he gives you the stable, solid, sound preaching of the old Reformed doctrines of grace, when he gives you a passion for souls, when he gives you the chance to sit in a church that believes in praying and believes in soul winning, my friend, God is blessing you and he's putting you on the verge of great things for God. It's a great beginning. Unfortunately, John Mark's initial beginning didn't continue.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.